'Tis the land where the columbines grow.
All right, how many of you recognized Where the Columbines Grow, the official song of Colorado? It's the sign that it's time again for another in our series about this year's swing states. Our partners at Slate have been writing about these battlegrounds and reporting on how they're leaning in this year's presidential race. Our guide to Colorado is Slate Associate Editor Brian Curtis. Brian, let's start with electoral history as we do. In 2000, Colorado went for
George W. Bush.
And how big a margin?
Bush got 51%, Al Gore got 42%, and Ralph Nader got 5%.
That's big for Ralph. How about recent history?
Well, the last Democratic presidential candidate to win in Colorado was Bill Clinton in 1992. Before that, it was Lyndon Johnson.
And how many electoral votes at stake here?
9.
Okay. Colorado is usually a safe bet for Republicans, as you've said. Let's talk about why it's a question at all this year. For one thing, John Kerry actually was born in Colorado.
That's right. As he reminded us in his nominating speech at the Democratic Convention, he was born in Fitzsimmons Army Hospital in the West Wing, as he pointed out. And his sort of ties to Colorado really don't go much beyond a line in a speech. He loves using that same line whenever he's on the ground there, but he doesn't really have too many ties in the state other than being sort of technically born there.
Well, so what is it that is making Colorado better for Mr. Kerry? Is there some factor with this Senate race featuring a seat being vacated by Republican Ben Nighthorse Campbell?
That's exactly right. About 6 months ago, the Kerry campaign thought they had absolutely no chance to win Colorado. Then Ben Nighthorse Campbell, a very popular Republican, decided that he would not seek re-election to the Senate, which made what was sure to be an easy Republican Senate re-election campaign into a wide-open campaign. The Democrats nominated Ken Salazar, who's a very, very popular centrist attorney general. Salazar, in turn, has pulled way ahead in his Senate race, and that convinced the Kerry campaign that if Salazar was doing so well, perhaps they could do well in Colorado, too.
And so some Democrats in Colorado are hoping that this race is going to have kind of a trickle-up effect, and for John Kerry, it's going to be a big help.
Usually you see with presidential and Senate races a coattails effect where the presidential candidate actually, by running way ahead, helps out the Senate candidate because he turns out voters for the Senate race. The Kerry people are sort of banking on exactly the opposite thing happening. The Senate candidate running so far ahead that he turns out new voters to actually help John Kerry.
There's this other thing in Colorado, this ballot initiative, Amendment 36, and that may complicate everything all across the country. Explain Amendment 36.
In past years, Colorado, like most of the other states in the union, has given all of its electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote in the state. So if I come in first place in the state, I win every one of Colorado's, this year, 9 electoral votes. But what Amendment 36 would do is actually distribute the electoral votes by percentage of the popular vote that you win. So if Kerry and Bush run a tight race, the winner would get 5 of the 9 electoral votes, and the loser would still get 4 of the electoral votes. And they also, the amendment has a little line in it that makes it retroactive to this year's election. So voters will be going to the polls on November 2nd to not just vote for president in Colorado, but for this amendment too. And if the amendment passes, it would apply retroactively to the last election.
If you had to predict now, who's going to win Colorado and will they get all 9 votes?
Alex, I'd say George Bush by 3 or 4 points. I say Amendment 36 fails and he picks up all 9 votes.
Brian Curtis is a Slate Associate Editor. You'll find his article on Colorado, and you'll find the entire Swing State series at slate.com. Brian, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.